Me too. I'm in Poway, California, with Nona Andrews. She's being interviewed by Cheryl Throckmorton.
I understand by your questionnaire you first attended campus in 1931. Now, was that before or after they moved the campus to its present site?
That was the year that the present site campus began classes. So it's all new construction. So, wasn't finished yet.
So you started on the new campus?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see now. What was your most vivid memory of attending school there?
Well, that's very difficult to say. The most surprising thing for me, I think, was that I learned that it was possible. I wasn't a bit sure that I could go to college and take those classes and do the work required. That was a surprise.
So it's like being a woman back then, you weren't sure if maybe you could be going to college or if you could do it?
I really can't say that that entered into it. Going to college was easy because jobs were not very hard. They were very hard to get. There just weren't very many jobs. So to continue going to school was an actual progression. And expenses in those days were not very great. So a lot of us went to college, I'm sure, for that reason. But we might have wanted to go to work, but we couldn't.
So since jobs weren't really available, you decided to further your education so that maybe when education was finished, maybe there'll be more opportunities after that?
That was certainly a theory, yes.
Okay.
You understand at that time, the school had just been given permission to delete from the title the word teachers. When it was on the old campus, it was State Teachers College. And when we opened the new campus, it was San Diego State. But the theory still was that we were all going to be teachers. So, and of course, you'd get a job. Everybody needed a teacher. Schools were always open. So that assumption was there. Get a degree, get a certificate, get a job, no problem.
Was there a large population of women at that time going to school?
Yes, I think it was probably 50-50.
Because I'm curious as to what opportunities were like for women in those days. Like you said, you got to go to college because basically there was nowhere else to go at the time since jobs were scarce. But other than that, were there any opportunities for women, or were they kind of like...
No, not really. No, you could be a teacher, you could be a nurse, you could be a stenographer. I suppose possibly you could be a bookkeeper. But no, a woman worked and then she got married and that was that.
Do you think that there was any like prejudices against women trying to get a higher education?
Absolutely, certainly. Women have been discriminated against since the beginning of time. And it's still going on, no matter what now may think. Women are still considered inferior. You know, they don't get the same pay for the same job. Men, just without even thinking, are making the remarks about women that are demeaning and pejorative. It's a rare man that doesn't do it. So there was prejudice, certainly.
Did you personally run into it? Did it have any
effect? I married a man whose favorite saying was, women are smart on paper.
Oh, dear. Going to college and being a woman at that time, did it make you want to work harder in school, or should I say, did you have to work harder?
No, I don't think so. But I think that was an individual matter.
Let's see. I noticed in your questionnaire your family moved out here in 1922. Do you happen to remember why they decided to move to California?
Yes, I had my older sister was living in San Diego, and she kept writing home, "Do come and visit. It's this, and it's wonderful, and it's that, and it's the other thing." So my parents decided to make a trip to San Diego, and that was the end of that. Never returned to Colorado.
How did your family fare during the Depression? I mean, was there
badly,
hardships?
Badly, very badly.
What did your father do?
My father was a carpenter. But worse than that, he was a union man, and San Diego was not a union city.
So things got rough? And
things were very rough, yes.
Did you have to move because of, like, hardships?
Yes, we did. I would not be able to recall all the times, but we would live someplace for until the landlord decided he'd rent to somebody that paid the rent more promptly, and then we'd find another place.
Did your mom have to perhaps get a job during those times?
My mother worked occasionally, not very much. She worked one time, I remember, as a cashier in a restaurant. We lived in Ocean Beach, and the restaurant was in San Diego, and in those days, that was a long distance. So you traveled by streetcar, and it took half an hour to do 7 miles. But she, for the most part, no, she did not, because jobs weren't that plentiful for a woman like her.
Because things were tough, how was college paid for? I mean, did you have to get a job, or...
My first year, I was the recipient of a check every month from an anonymous benefactor. This had been arranged by one of my high school teachers. And every month the check came in. And I anticipated, I'd been led to believe, that I would have this for all 4 years. It was good only 1 year. And I was rather devastated to learn that it wasn't going to continue. But the hard part financially was over. Because by then I'd learned you sell your books to buy the new textbooks, and you don't buy new, you buy used, so that it didn't cost nearly so much to be a sophomore as it did to be a freshman, because experience had taught a lot. I got a loan, and right now I can't even tell you who made the loan, but it was for $100. And I paid it off after I was out of state, after I had a job. I gave $10 a month or something like that. I wish I could remember who made that loan to me, but I don't.
Did you ever find out who the benefactor was?
Yes, I did, inadvertently. His wife sent me some clothing, some used clothing, and she wrote a note and included it. So that's how I knew who the benefactor was. He was a San Diego man. And I never saw him. I'd see his name in the paper occasionally. And about 15, 16, 17 years ago, his name was in the paper. He was going to be celebrating his 70th birthday at such and such a place. At any rate, the name was there. I knew the birth when the birthday was, and I was able to get an address from somewhere. So I wrote him a note. It was my first opportunity to thank him for the money that he had given me. And I told him that I thought perhaps he might be interested to know that I was now in a position to help other young people trying to get an education. And I gave him that as a 70th birthday present. But I didn't identify myself in any way, just my name and so on. But he got busy and looked around and did some sleuthing, and he found my address, and I heard from him again.
That's pretty neat.
It was nice.
So when you graduated San Diego State, what happened to your life then? Did you find a job, or was there opportunities at that time?
Well, you see, I wasn't going to be a teacher. After 2 years, I was called into the office of the Dean of Women, who asked how serious I was about my desire to be a teacher. And I wasn't very eager at that time, I'll tell you, because I had to do methods, you know, how to class them, how to teach music, how to... And the students from my college, you see, and they were devils. The discipline, how do you discipline your a class of 20-year-olds who are your classmates? So I wasn't sure that I wanted to face this. I wasn't realizing at that time that disciplining a class of 8-10-year-olds would be different. But at any rate, she pointed out that my teachers on the word jobs, if I wasn't really that keen on it, maybe I would like to change my mind and go for a secondary degree, which meant going up to L.A. or getting... You couldn't get a secondary degree in San Diego at that time. So, but I was willing to go along with it and be finished with these methods classes and practice teaching my classmates. So I wasn't going to... I didn't have a teacher certificate. I wasn't going to get a job as a teacher. I got a job at the library, the San Diego City Library System. It was civil service. I'd taken the examination. I'd taken other civil service exams. This was the first one that came through. And the work was to act as page. And I paid 25 cents an hour. And I worked sometimes 3 hours a night, maybe two nights a week. I wasn't really getting very rich. But whatever it was, I was grateful for and happy to have.
So, since you didn't get that much pay, were you still living with your parents at that time?
I was living with my sister, my sister's house. My parents were living there too, but it was my sister's house. Yes, so I was still living there.
So the financial hardship had you moving in with your sister. Your family was still in the same house.
I never would have been able to go to school if it hadn't been for the kindness of my sister. My last year of high school, I was living with her, and she was working in San Diego, so she drove me in and dropped me off at the high school, and she picked me up in the evening and took me home. And she not only gave me board and room, but she gave me clothing and other things that I needed to have. She lived out in East San Diego, so that it was very convenient to go to state from there. So I lived in her house on 48th Street all the time that I was going to state. So it was just natural to stay there. Besides, she had just given birth to twins. And twins keep you up a lot at night. So we took turns. She slept one night and I got up when they cried. And the next night I slept and she got up. So in a way, I was earning my keep there too.
So when were you able to finally, shall we say, leave the family nest?
Well, I left about 6 months after I graduated from state. Took a bus, a cross-country bus, and went to Washington, D.C., and I was married there.
Right now, as I'm attending school, we're having a shortage of classes because of the budget. What was the main concern of students when you were there?
Well, we didn't have the shortage of classes. I never had heard the expression crashing, and nobody ever had to do it, I'm sure. And we didn't have any problem parking. Of course, most students didn't have cars. But those who did could park down at the West End in a muddy place, and there was no great problem. I think financing probably was the biggest concern, a general. Some people dropped out because although the fees were not very much, if you didn't have that much money, they were impossible. So I think that the concern then probably was getting more money. Gender. Of course, it was a lot simpler as far as the curriculum was concerned because you were going to be a teacher, and that was that. You took education this and education that and education the other, then you took whatever you needed to fulfill your major, but your major was very limited too, you know. It could be English, it might be foreign language, it might be phys ed, it could be social sciences, but remember we're talking about elementary school here for the most part because that's what the certificates were at that time. The state could give, it couldn't go any higher than, I don't think we even could go to junior high. Sixth grades and that was that. So we didn't have to worry about, are we going to get astronomy this semester or we're going to get that science course. And we got them. There weren't that many to compete.
So there were about 3,000 students, you said? So it's kind of a little more intimate than it is these days.
Yes, yes.
So it's just basically bodies walking around. The teaching, you mentioned earlier that it's a little different, I mean, a lot different than it is today. Do you think that students have really changed since then, or is it just, shall we say, like the press making it seem
no, well, well, of course, all I know is what I get in the press, because I have no association at all with the schools. But I don't believe anybody ever came onto a campus at high school with a gun, or with a knife, or with brass knuckles. There was no graffiti, as I remember. We wore uniforms. And if you didn't wear a uniform, you went to see the girls' principal. The boys didn't have to wear uniforms, but they did it in a way because they had to meet the approval of their peers. It certainly wasn't the violence. I never heard of a teacher being raped. I don't think anybody was ever mugged on campus. Nobody was ever shot on campus or being shot from somebody on campus shooting off. Of course, most mothers were at home in those days, and I think that that's a problem today. I think it's better to give up the extra TV and the VCRs and the other car and let mama stay home and take care of the kids. They can't raise themselves.
So you think the changing financial situation where the mother can no longer stay at home has had a big effect?
Well, what else? Why do kids need drugs? Well, there's something lacking in their lives, and telling them just say no isn't supplying that lack. You have to fill them with whatever it is they aren't getting. If a girl was pregnant in high school, believe you me, she disappeared. She went to Florence Crittenden and hit her face, and she never saw the baby, and she probably never came back to school. You have to remember that my class was really product of the Victorian days. Because our parents were born and grew up and married and raised their children while Victoria was still pretty active. And the hangover was there.
Things got, I understand things got a little sort of wild in the 30s with, prohibition. And did you, I should say, what was your social life back then, like in your college days?
Well, of course, I was a barbarian. I couldn't afford to join a sorority. But we barbs stuck together. I worked on the Aztec. So the staff or the people that worked on the Aztec got together occasionally for some socializing. I can remember one year, we didn't go to school on Washington's birthday, and there was snow in the mountains. So we went up to the mountains to the snow and nearly froze to death because we didn't have proper clothing. Another time, we went down into Rose Canyon to a barn. I don't know whose barn it was. I don't know why it was such a desirable place, and we were trespassing. We had no business there at all. And I don't know what we did. But the barn was there, so we went. We used to take the ferry over to Coronado. Once you paid a nickel and got on, you could stay on all night long. And we did. And we might take a little food with us. Again, there was nothing to do except talk, hang out. But we did more than once have a ferry party. 5 for 5 cents, that wasn't a bad evening. I can remember that we used to go to the ballroom in Mission Beach. The big bands would come in, you know, they'd be touring and would be there for one night or two nights a weekend. So we'd go there and we'd dance. What else did we do? There were always movies. We'd go to the beach. We did not drink. First of all, it wasn't legal, so it wasn't easily available. Besides, it was expensive, so we didn't drink. Anybody that wanted to drink, and there were some who did, could get in the car and go down to Tijuana. It was such a long trip. No problem at all.
So probably the speakeasy type thing was not perhaps as active because there was always Tijuana. The, you know, the illegal places that you can go get a drink.
I didn't understand your question.
Well, as I understand it, back then, because of Prohibition, there were places like a speakeasy where, you know, kind of a secret...
In this country?
Yes.
But Joe didn't have that problem down in Tijuana.
Yes, so I was wondering, do you think perhaps there was less of them because of Tijuana? Or was there still a population of them?
Well, I think there was... yes, I think there probably... there may have been speakeasies in San Diego. I wouldn't know. Because they cost money. And I'm sure they cost a lot because they were doing something illegal, so they had to protect themselves. But the people from Hollywood used to go down to Mexico because they could drink legally there. So Tijuana was definitely an attraction if you wanted to drink.
Still is today. nowadays, when we're in school, there's like... you know, cliques of people, groups of people that, you know, certain cheerleaders, sororities, fraternities, the bad kids. What was the population like back then in college?
Same thing. There were cliques. There were the sororities that were considered top-notch, and there were others that were, the same was true of the fraternities. First of all, in those days, they were all strictly local. They weren't national. Some of them have since affiliated, but at that time it was just local. So the girls of this sorority would give a dance, and the boys from that fraternity would be invited. The same thing, you know, cliques was a good word for it.
Basically, I guess I'm just kind of interested in, during those days, you know, how people got through their days, actually, you know, with the depression going on. Just how families got through it all.
Well, there were bread lines. You could go stand in line and come home with the prescribed amount depending upon the size of your family. People were on welfare. The social workers would come and look the situation over, and ultimately the male, the head of the house, would receive a check for X number of dollars. But don't forget that you could get bread for 5 cents a loaf if you took yesterday's bread. For 25 cents, you could buy quite a lot of round steak. Prices were cheap. I mean, it didn't cost so much to live. You could get a meal at a restaurant for 50 cents. Get several courses for that. Not in San Diego, but when we lived in New York in the late 30s, there was a place we used to go to, a French restaurant, where the meal cost 75 cents if you had a glass of wine. It cost 50 cents if you had a glass of wine. The wine cost 25 cents. If you didn't have the wine, you used to pay 75 cents for the meal and just didn't have anything to drink. But this was several courses. You started out with some kind of appetizer, then soup, then your entree, then a salad, and then dessert. 50 cents, 75 cents. So you didn't need to earn a lot of money because it didn't cost you a lot to live.
Just the only problem was that you couldn't find a job to earn those few pennies that you needed.
Well, a newspaper costs 3 cents.
So about 6 months after you graduated, you got married.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever work during that time, or
during the 6 months, or after?
Well, after you were married.
Yes, I did. I was in Washington D.C. Remember, I told you I had taken some other civil service examinations. Well, the first job I had in Washington was a patronage job. And I had to write back here to San Diego, and I wrote to somebody whose name I was given, but he belonged to the wrong party. He was a Republican, and the Democrats were in power. So I had to do something else, but I did get a patronage job. And then after about 6 or 8 months of that, I got a better job, a better paying job, as a result of the civil service examination I had taken. And I worked at that job for about 6 months or so. When I was married, my husband was a student. And when he finished and got his degree, he went to New York to get a job. And after he had been there for 6 months, he got another job that paid him enough so I could afford to quit my job in Washington. We could both eke out on what he was earning. And I got a job up there, too. I worked in a real estate office, in the treasurer's office, doing clerical work, filing, typing, that sort of stuff. Then my husband was sent to Germany as a student, and the company paid for wives to go along. But when we came back, the war had started, although this country wasn't in it. The war was on in Europe. Jobs were not very easy to get. I tried to get a job with Pratt & Whitney up in Connecticut. Defense work, they were really hiring, but they were not hiring married women. So even then, you see.
So, when America did get involved, in the war, and defense plants really started, did you look into that again, or...?
No, but by that time I had a child, so I was discriminated against, no job. But believe me, the unmarried women in San Diego were working at Convair. Everybody was working at Convair. Was working 24 hours a day. And everybody who wanted a job could have a job.
So your husband had a job at that time that would support you and your child?
By that time he was in the Navy. So, yes, he had a job that supported us.
And so you basically had to just stay at home and take care of everything.
Yes, I stayed home and took care of the child.
So it sounds as though, did you earn a degree from state?
A degree?
Yes.
Yes.
But you never really used it in a sense...
Well, I did not receive a certificate, a teaching credentials,
oh, okay.
So I didn't use them. I guess probably the answer is no, I didn't ever use the degree, but I certainly used the information I picked up while getting the degree.
So it did have a positive effect on you?
Absolutely. I took 1 year of German. And that was my sophomore year, so that would have been 32. 1938, I was living in Germany. I took Spanish in high school and in college. I've forgotten how many years of Spanish. 1948, I was living in Argentina. So the languages were beneficial, very.
So you think the college experience was definitely a positive one? Because even though you didn't go so far as doing, you know, teaching or getting that out of it, you still got something out of it.
I got a great deal out of it, yes. And you don't stop learning once you get the degree, you know. Now you're ready to start learning.
Yeah, your mind is open wider.
Thinking along those lines when I was at State, and I don't think anybody else, but we're taking a broad overview. We were thinking, tonight I have to do this in Spanish, and I got to finish that book report, and I got to get that collateral reading done for my history. We were concentrating on the immediate need and not being philosophic about what the whole situation was.
So though, you know, there probably was discrimination at the time, you weren't, it wasn't primary on your mind. You just wanted, you were there to go to school.
Fulfill the immediate goals, yeah.
Did you have to work during school?
I mean, yes. I, when jobs were available,